Good morning, everybody. Right, isn't it wonderful when God talks to us? And I really feel this morning that, well, half my message has been preached, even with the songs or with Savina. So that's good, because God's obviously trying to tell us something. My message this morning is all about focusing on Jesus and not on our circumstances. And I'd like to start with something that happened this week. Someone told me a wonderful story. I was at work on Tuesday, and a Christian friend of mine came up and he said, I've got to tell you, because you'll love this. You'll just love this. And I said, okay, come on, tell me what happened. He said, the night before, on Monday, his son had rang him up, and he had two children, a six-year-old girl and a four-year-old boy. So apparently he'd been in the kitchen and he was cooking boiled potatoes, and the little girl who was six came up behind him and he hadn't seen her. And as he turned, unfortunately, the water went all over her hand and her arm, boiling water. It was a very bad burn. He put it straight under the water. His wife came running in. There was lots of panic. And they said, we've got to get her to hospital quick. We've got to get to hospital. Now, the little four-year-old brother heard the commotion. His name's Elijah. And he came in and he said, Mummy, Daddy, we need to pray for Sophie. So he prayed a very simple prayer, you know, probably something like, Jesus, heal Sophie's arm. They rushed her off to hospital. And not long later, the doctor came out and he said, I actually don't know what to say to you. It's a miracle. There was nothing on her arm or her hand but a tiny pink mark between two fingers. Isn't God amazing? The following day, I was in work and wanted to tell my friend who was in the office this story. So she's only just started working in the office. So she came in and I said, I've got to share this with you. So, oh yeah, what happened? So I told her the story. She said, oh, this is wonderful. And the pair of us are jumping up and down in the office saying, oh, this is so great. When I'd finished, she said, I've got to tell you my story. So I said, okay, go for it. So she said, 3 years ago, she said, I had something wrong with me and the doctors could not find what was wrong with me. She wasn't a Christian at the time. And she was in so much pain with her back, her legs, her joints, that she couldn't move. She was bedridden. She said she was like that for a year and a half and nobody could help her. And she got to the point where she said, I actually thought of suicide. She said, and I never thought I'd ever think of that. She said, and a friend came round and said, let me take you to church. We'll get you to church. So she thought, whatever. So she let her friend take her to church on the Sunday. And her friend said, let's take you to the pastor. Let him pray for you. So took her to the pastor. Pastor laid his hand on her. And as soon as he laid his hand on her, she fell on the floor. She shook, she said, and with every shake, I could feel the pain leaving through my feet. She said, after a while, I stood up. She said, and the pastor said, well, she said, there's still a bit there. So he said, okay, out. And she said, she went home. There was nothing. But then the next day, she started having pain again. But they'd said to her, it may be a battle. You have got to stand up. You have got to fight your battle. Jesus has done it for you. You've got to claim it. And she stood there. And it took 6 weeks, she said, before every bit went and it never came back. But it did. It did. Our God is amazing. And he has done this for us. He has already paid the price. Right. On to the other story. Right, I'm actually going to talk about the story of Ruth this morning. Now, there'd been a famine in the land where Naomi had lived with her husband Elimelech. So they moved to Moab. And they moved there with their two sons and they grew up. And eventually they married two Moabite women. Unfortunately, after a while, her husband eventually died, followed by both of her sons. Right. She was left with her two daughters-in-law, but they were very poor. They had nothing. They had no husband or husbands to look after them. So Naomi had heard that back in Judah, the Lord was coming to the aid of his people. So she said to her daughters-in-law, go home, go to your families. I'm returning to my land and my people where my God is coming to the aid of his people. Now, neither daughter wanted to leave her, but she insisted and said, you know, I have nothing for you. I can't give any more sons that you can marry. Go home. One of them did, but Ruth didn't. Ruth decided to follow her. And she said, where you go, I go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. That's quite a statement in those days, to leave your whole family and just go with your mother-in-law to a new land that you know nothing about. So the two of them returned to Judah, and when they arrived, the people recognized Naomi, and they said, is that Naomi? Is that you? And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. She said, because I've come home, the Lord has made my life bitter and brought me back empty with misfortune. Now, Naomi had lost both her sons and her husband, and that I can't even imagine the grief she must have felt. But she couldn't see what she still had. She had a daughter-in-law who had sacrificed everything to go with her and never leave her. She'd promised to look after her, and she did. She went with her. Now, they were very poor, Naomi and Ruth, but it was the time of harvest, so Ruth told Naomi that she was going to a field and that she would follow behind the people. Apparently it was the law at the time that they could glean what was dropped behind the harvesters. So she said, I'll go and do that in a field. But it was a dangerous thing to go into fields, you know, on your own as a lonely woman. But the field she actually chose was a relative. It belonged to a relative of Naomi's. So his name was Boaz. And when he returned, he said, who is this woman here? And they said, this is Ruth. She's the daughter-in-law of Naomi. So he went to her and he said, you know, I've heard all about you and your dedicated faithfulness to Naomi. He said, stay in my fields, glean what you want, and take a drink and a rest whenever you want. And my people will be kind to you. So he went to his people and said, you look after her, let her drink, let her rest, and drop a bit extra grain when you can. So she did. She stayed there. She collected lots. Then he said to Ruth, may you be richly blessed by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken. Now at that time, when a man had died childless, his brother or his next of kin could marry the widow, and the child would be brought up to carry on the name of the family and keep any land that they owned belonging into that family. So Boaz eventually brought the land, and Ruth became his wife, and they had a son named Obed. Naomi became a grandmother, and her heart was once again warmed. The child became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, and from that line we know that Jesus came himself. Naomi couldn't see it at the time because she was going through so much grief, but there was a plan and a purpose for her life. Her daughter-in-law, she would become, in the whole picture of Jesus, she was in the line of Jesus. There was a purpose and a plan for her, but she couldn't see it because she was so grieved at what was happening around her. I think I've said it before, but on our wall in Greece, we have a saying that says, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. Very good. It's all too easy to focus on what we don't have and not on what we do. If we focus on grieving, if we focus on our pain, if we focus on everything that's going on around us, if we focus on our sin, then we'll become depressed. It's as simple as that. But if we keep on focusing on the Lord, if we give praise and thanks, then he'll deal with it for us. When we praise God, he inhabits our praises. He turns up. He loves our praises. He loves our worship. We all look to negative things. We all look and think, yeah, but this circumstance is a bit too big. Even the disciples looked at things that they didn't have. For instance, when Jesus had been teaching the 5,000, they were out quite a distance from a town. And when they'd finished, the disciples said to Jesus, you know, this is a remote place. It's already late. Maybe we should send the people home so they can get something to eat. And Jesus replied, you feed them. They said, but we haven't got anything, Lord. You know, that would cost about 8 months' wages. We can't do that. So Jesus said, well, how many loaves are there? So they went round, collected everything, and there were 5 loaves and a couple of fish. Jesus didn't discount that and say, oh, that's not enough. He gave thanks for what he had. He prayed and he said, thank you, Father, for these loaves and fishes. And they then handed them out and they collected 12 leftover baskets. When we give thanks for what we already have, it becomes more than enough because Jesus will deal with everything else. The widow who had 2 sons, she cried out to Elijah. And he said, well, how can I help you? What do you have in your house? She said, nothing at all except a little bit of oil. He told her to gather all the jars that she could find and pour oil into them. And when every jar had been filled, he told her to sell the oil, pay her debts, and live on the rest. When asked, it would have been so easy to just say nothing and forget the little bit of oil, but God will use what we have. Sometimes things get so tough, it's hard to look away from our problems. If we could fix it, we probably would, but sometimes it's out of our control and we have 2 choices. We can either dwell on it or we can focus on God and let him deal with it. If we dwell on the problem, we can't see our road ahead. We grow weary and we lose heart. When Kerry was singing, she said about changing the atmosphere. We change the atmosphere and let the darkness fear. That's what we need to do. When we praise, the darkness fears. Isaiah 40 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. It also says, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings on eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. A bit further on in Isaiah, it also talks about having a righteous manner. And it says, then you will call and our Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk. Giving thanks for what we have takes our focus away from what we don't. There's a few interesting things I've been finding out about some of the people in the Bible. There are a lot more, but there's just a few. Apparently Moses had a stutter. Of course, he was also a murderer. David's armor was too big. Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children. Peter was afraid of death and denied Jesus 3 times. Jonah was afraid and had tried to run away from God. Gideon and Thomas had both doubted at some point. Noah got drunk. Jeremiah had been depressed and suicidal. Elijah also had times of depression. Samson lost his strength and his sight. But they were all chosen by God. They all had a plan and a purpose for their lives, and they didn't let the negative hold on to them. They focused on the Lord. Satan will try and tell you, you're not worthy. Jesus says, so what? I am. Satan looks back and sees our mistakes and points them out to us. Jesus looks back and sees the cross and redemption. Regardless of what we are or what we aren't, what we have done, what we haven't done, what we have or what we haven't, God is with us, God loves us, and he is for us. Some of you will know that last year I had a little accident and nearly chopped off the end of my toe. Well, it's nearly all fine, by the way. But there was one weekend that I went away and I'd wore the wrong shoes. Now, they were very soft underneath and I was in agony with every step. When I came home, I put on the correct shoes, which were a lot tougher underneath. They supported my foot and they were a size too big. Spiritually, it's the same thing. If we wear the correct shoes, the correct clothes, they're fit for purpose. Do we see ourselves clothed in white robes of righteousness and forgiveness? Because that's what we should be wearing. That's what Jesus has done. He's given us white robes. He's given us forgiveness. Are we seeing ourselves as a new creation in Christ, washed clean, empowered and equipped to run the race before us with our Father's help, with the Holy Spirit guiding us every step of the way? In Romans 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are a new creation, made righteous by faith. We shouldn't be judging ourselves about what we can't do. We can't put our own expectations on what we can and can't do. The blood has set us free from condemnation, and it promises righteousness by faith. God is for you. He is with you in every situation. He pours out his grace and his mercy. He gives you wisdom and strength, power and authority. You were created with a plan and a purpose. We all were. Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. When things get tough, that's the time to focus on our living God, our merciful God, our God of salvation, the God who heals. We've all heard testimonies of healings and breakthroughs. Lots of us have even had our own. We need to share them with each other and encourage each other. Hebrews 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Keep going till the end. Run your race. I believe God will give us supernatural strength when we need it. Isaiah 41 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. A long time ago, I heard a story about a mechanic. Now, he was fixing a car and he was laying underneath it when the jacks gave way. He was trapped underneath, and obviously, you know, serious situation. A man came running. Well, a couple of men came running, but one in particular, he put his back against the car and he just lifted a whole car. He just lifted. And it was just enough for two other people to drag this man out from underneath, call the ambulance, and they saved his life. Later on, they asked him and said, how did you do that? And he said, I don't know. I just knew I had to, and I just looked to it and I did it. And sometimes that's what we need to do when we're in a race. We're not in a battle as such, because the battle's been, it's already been won, but we're in a race. Keep our eyes on the finish line. Moses had sent Joshua and some of the men to go out and fight the Amalekites. Moses stood on the top of the hill and he held up the staff of God in his hands. As long as his hands were held up, they were winning. But as soon as he tired and his arms lowered, they began losing. So Aaron and Hur held up his hands. They supported him. The Bible tells us when we are weak, he is strong. That's the time to praise and worship. That's the time to let God wrap you under his wings. That's the time not to run away from church and think I've done this and I've done that, but to come and be supported by your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let them hold your arms up. And let them support you. Let them pray with you and help you finish your race and support your arms. If great men like Moses needed help, I'm sure we do. When we run a race, if we look back or look at our feet, we're going to fall flat on our face because we can't see where we're going. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we get the promises of peace, of joy, of love, and even wisdom. Isn't that great? Instead of having that awful feeling in the pit of our stomach, knowing, you know, there's a problem, there's worries about money, there's pain, there's disappointment, there's sin. Instead of having that horrible feeling in the pit of your stomach, you can look to Jesus and just praise him, and he'll take it all away from us. He'll sort it. That's what he's promised. He said, let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. First seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. In other words, look to God and let him deal with the rest. Our Father delights in helping us. He knows our needs. By offering a sacrifice of praise, we are taking our focus away from our problems. We're giving thanks for what he's done and what he will do. He's in control. Romans 8 tells us, all things will work for the good of those who love the Lord. Keep giving thanks. It might not seem at the moment that it'll work, but it will. It'll all be good in the end. There may be sickness and pain and money problems, relationship problems, money worries, family worries. But what can make that worse? Isolation. When we get so miserable and worried, we pull ourselves away from everybody else. We don't want to look like we're being too miserable. We don't want to upset other people. But when we do that, we're playing into the enemy's hands because that's what he wants. He wants us to be isolated. It's like coals in a fire. You know, when one of those coals falls out, it gets cold very, very quickly. But when it's in the fire, it stays hot. So when we're struggling, we need to stay with other Christians. We need to be encouraged by them and ask for prayer. We've all been through things. When we lived back in Greece, the last couple of years were quite tough, especially for me. We lived by the sea and it was very isolated during the winter, and we'd been in a car accident. Now, we'd both been injured, but me in particular, my arm was badly injured. But I'm quite a positive person, so this all happened in September, and about December, I was thinking, it'll all be fine by December, by Christmas, it'll all be over, so just look towards the end. But when December came, I still had no feeling in my arm. I could not move my arm, and the doctors were telling me, don't expect much, you're not going to get it any better, you know, it's not going to move. And basically, I couldn't move it at all. You know, I could move my fingers and that was it. The arm wouldn't move at all from the shoulder. We'd asked people to pray. And at that point, I was really low. And I was thinking, I can deal with most things, Lord, but we had a new baby and I couldn't look after her. I couldn't move my arm. And I was beginning to think, okay, what's going to happen now, Lord? Doctors are telling me I can't. So we rang people that we knew and said, look, please pray. We didn't give them all the details, just we'd been in an accident and my arm was bad. And a friend of mine rang me up one evening from the UK and she said, I've got a word for you. I just know this is for you. She said, I've been watching the God Channel and they said, there's somebody out there. And she described my injuries and she said, I just knew instantly it's for you. God is going to heal you. So it just lifted my faith. I can't tell you how much it lifted my faith. I started praising, and we had a pulley. Costas fixed a pulley on the ceiling, which is how I used to try and lift it and make it move. But it gave me a focus, and my goal was to lift my arm and praise the Lord. And that is my arm. I can lift my arm, and I will praise the Lord. When God has a plan and a purpose, nothing will stop it except us. John 15:4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. It is difficult sometimes. We all go through difficult things. But most of those songs this morning, we're all saying, you know, that if we focus on the Lord and how good he is, his goodness, he is amazing. He is amazing. He's done everything for us. One of my favourite poems is Footsteps. You probably already know it. It says, one night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at his footprints in the sand, and he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He noticed that it happened at the very lowest times of his life, and it really bothered him. So he asked the Lord, Lord, you said you'd never leave me, but I've noticed that during the hardest times of my life, there are only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you left me. The Lord replied, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. during the times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, that's when I carried you. I really like that because it's true. Sometimes we can't see that God is with us and that he's for us, but he is. That's his promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you. I don't want to look back when I get to the end of my road and see what the devil has robbed me of. If I have to look back, I want to see that I kept going. I want to see that I trusted our God, the living God. I want to see that I praised him, gave glory to him, and hopefully have the courage to tell others about his love. And I want to see that I robbed the devil, because he doesn't deserve anything from me. So I just encourage you that whatever you're going through, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep praising. Keep pushing through. There is an end. And if all things aren't good, then we're not at the end. Can we just have a little prayer? Could you just close your eyes and I'd like to pray. Jesus, help us to keep our eyes on you through the good and the bad. Let us lift your name in praise, Father, because you are with us. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Help us run the race with courage. We are under the wings of your protection. Help us to fulfill your plan and purpose in our life. Help us bring honor and glory to you, Father, because you have paid the price. You are amazing. You have promised never to leave or forsake us. You have promised to be with us. You have promised to help us. Guide us, my Lord, I pray. Help us trust in you. Help us with every footstep that we take, look forward to the finish line and not backward or down. Help us lift your name in praise in everything we do. Father, I pray that you release the chains that bind us, Father, whether it's financial worries, whether it's pain and sickness, whether it's sin. Father, you came to release the chains. You've paid the price, Father. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. By your stripes we are healed. We are set free in you, Lord. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Jesus, help us keep our focus on you. Help us keep our focus on you. If anyone would like prayer, please just come to the front and we will have a short ministry time.